Today is Monday, April 2nd. A quorum being present, the Committee on Local Government Elections will come to order. We'll start today's agenda with the consideration of confirmation of Neil Peterson and George Beck to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Chair moves that the committee recommend the confirmation of Neil Peterson to the Board of Directors of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Joining Mr. Peterson today is Mr. Gary Goldsmith, Executive Director of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Welcome, Mr. Goldsmith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Peterson. Mr. Goldsmith.
Mr. Chair and members, we have this evening for confirmation two new board members appointed by Governor Dayton for terms expiring in January 2016. Immediately to my left is Mr. Neil Peterson. Mr. Peterson is a former Republican House of Representatives member and fills the spot for a former Republican legislator. And to my further left is Mr. George Beck. Mr. Beck is a retired judge from the Office of Administrative Hearings, and he fills a position for a member who has not had prospective specified political activity in the last 3 years.
Okay, thank you. Representative Peterson, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape and tell us a little about yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Neil Peterson. I reside in Bloomington, which is Senate District 41. I served 41B for a short time, and prior to that, I was involved in municipal government for quite a number of years in Bloomington.
Well, thank you. Good to see you here. As you know, we expect from the Campaign Finance Public Disclosure Board justice and impartiality, and people can rely on it and have been able to. It's been considered a nonpartisan groups or commission since its inception and has functioned that way and has a record and a history of that. We hope that you'll continue that. It's very important to us to and the public to have a trustworthy Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board.
You have my pledge, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions for the Mr. Peterson? Okay, seeing none. Chair renews his motion that the committee recommend the confirmation of Neil Peterson to the Board of Directors of the Campaign Finance Public Disclosure Board. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion prevails. Okay, we will now move on to recommend the confirmation of George Beck to the Board. The Chair moves that the committee recommend the confirmation of George Beck to the Board of Directors of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Mr. Beck, welcome to the committee. State your name for the tape and tell us a little bit about yourself. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is George Beck, and I served for approximately 30 years as an administrative law judge. In the course of that position, I conducted trial-type hearings and rulemaking hearings. So I had the opportunity to find facts and interpret the statutes that you've written and make decisions in a fair and impartial manner. And that's the perspective that I hope to bring to the board. I've also was quite involved in rulemaking. I know the board does some of that, and some rule issues come up. So I expect to be able to offer something in that regard also.
Any further questions for Mr. Beck? Questions from members? Seeing none. Chair renews his motion that the committee recommend the confirmation of George Beck to the Board of Directors of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Goldsmith. Recommendation to confirm will be forwarded to the full Senate. Next on the agenda, we have before the committee seven members of the Metropolitan Council. Senator Sieben, would you like to move the confirmation of Lona Schreiber?
I would.
Okay, Senator Sieben moves the confirmation of Lona Schreiber. Moves that the committee recommend the confirmation to the Metropolitan Council. Ms. Schreiber, welcome to the committee. Sit down and state your name for the tape.
Thank
Please
you.
Please identify yourself for the tape and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Script
Mr. Chairman, members, my
same.
Name is Lona Schreiber. And I was appointed by the governor to represent District 2 on the Metropolitan Council. I have a short statement here about a minute long, unless you want me to, I know you have information about me before you. What would you wish,
Mr. Chairman? A minute is good. Go ahead.
Excuse me?
We like a minute.
A minute. All right. District 2 includes the communities, four communities in Anoka County and four in Hennepin County. And I live in Brooklyn Park. My background includes 30 years in and around local government and state government, and I've held local elected office. And I retired in 2009 from Anoka County as their intergovernmental coordinator. And one of the tasks I assigned myself after my appointment to the council was to meet with all the city council's members in my district, and I was able to do that early on because I think it's important we keep those lines of communication open. I would be happy to answer any questions you may have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions from members? Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, this isn't exactly a question for Ms. Schreiber, but
yes,
more of a general question before we get started here. I'm just looking through all the appointment applications here, mm-hmm. and I noticed that there's a spot for political party. And I don't know what the I know, like, on the campaign finance board, that needs to have a certain balance. And I'm just curious what that is on the Metropolitan, on the Met Council, because at least in these applications, I noticed Democrat Farm Labor and no parties designation, but I didn't notice any Republicans. And I'm just wondering, what is the history on the Met Council? Is there supposed to be some sort of balance?
Ms. Berezovsky might be able to help us. She looks like she's in.
Mr. Chair and members, I see in the Metropolitan Council sections of statute that when it talks about qualifications of members, it says members of the council must be appointed to reflect fairly the various demographic, political, and other interests in the metropolitan area and the districts.
So that doesn't sound like it requires any party. Considering the governor has the option, I'm not sure that you're going to see a lot of Republicans on here.
Thank you. I was just curious what the history was on that. I appreciate that.
Okay. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So following up on Senator Nelson's comment, so is it traditional that Republican governors appoint mostly Republican members to the Met Council since they serve at the pleasure of the governor and sort of work within those parameters, and Democrats appoint Democrats and Republicans appoint Republicans? Does that tend to be the case historically?
Perhaps. I guess I don't know the answer to that question. I wonder if someone from the Metropolitan Council could answer that, would like to take a run at that. Mr. Shetland. A resident expert. What has been your experience, sir?
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Judd Shetland, and I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. I've served under three administrations, the Ventura administration, the Plenty administration, and now the Dayton administration. And the way I understand this, and I've gone through the appointments process many times, that there have been a number of members who just have left the party affiliation left blank, and that has been done intentionally. I have a feeling it goes to what Ms. Berezovsky mentioned as well. There is no requirement as far as party affiliation when you are choosing to make an application to serve on the council. I'm sure that there's been a wide variety of political affiliation, and there's also been a number of members who have no party affiliation, and I think that is intentional as well. So that is the brief history as far as I can remember. I think most of this came up going back to when the council was reorganized back in 1995. I go back to the year 2000, and there is no requirement, and I know that that is not a criteria that has to be considered when the governor makes their appointments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, I'm not sure who the best person is to answer this question, but I've come off a city council, and when we would appoint various members of the community to things like the Planning Commission, other commissions, there was typically an area or a question where we would ask them if there was any conflicts of interest, and I would say the primary conflict of interest that came up is when, one that I recall when I was on the council was that there was a guy that owned a deli and did contracting with the Civic Center, for example, and that was against the rules, at least in the city of St. Cloud. So is there any conflict of interest guidelines for the Metropolitan Council, for example, or I don't see where that if that question is addressed at all on the application.
Mr. Shetland, do you have a comment?
Yes, I do. Mr. Chair and members, appreciate the opportunity to address that question. Senator Peterson, we do have conflict of interest discussions with appointees or people who are considered for appointment, especially with I guess it's called the conflict of office. We have members who are seeking appointment to the Metropolitan Council who oftentimes are seated city council members or potential county board members who would have a conflict in office. If they were going to serve on the council, they would have to resign from the city council or from the city a county board. And also, when our council members are appointed, we meet with them, with our legal counsel, in order to go over any potential conflict of interest they may have with their work outside of the council in order to make sure they know that they have to recuse themselves of any type of vote or input they may have on an issue before the council. We are very diligent about making sure our council members are aware of that.
Mr. Shetland, are you aware of any conflicts with the proposed confirmations tonight?
Mr. Chair and members, I think that's a decision for the committee. I'd just like to restate that when we meet with our council members, we make sure that they are aware of any potential conflict of interest, and at this point, I do not know of any conflicts at this point.
Thank you. Senator Stephen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to get back to Senator Nelson's question about balance of parties, I think that this the group of applicants we're looking at tonight, I'm just as I'm looking through the packets, there are two members who are up for consideration tonight who have letters of support from Republican legislators. Just to they don't specify a party preference, but I do see that there are two members here who are supported by Republican senator and by a House member.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions on relating to Ms. Schreiber? Seeing none, Senator Sieben renews her motion that the committee forward the confirmation of Lona Schreiber to the Metropolitan Council with recommendation. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion does prevail. A confirmation with recommendation will be forwarded to the full Senate. Thank you, Ms. Schreiber. Senator Kielash, would you like to move
yes.
the confirmation of Gary Van Isle?
Are you skipping one? Jennifer Munt, is the next.
Pardon me?
Jennifer Munt.
We skip one?
Was the next on the list?
I guess we're not using the.
We're not using this list? Oh, is it a different list? Okay. Yes, I could do that.
Thank you, Senator.
So we're
Kielash
going to Gary Van Isle? I move
that. Moves that the committee recommend the confirmation of Gary Van Isle to the Metropolitan Council. Mr. Van Isle, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Gary Van Isle. I am the representative from District 4, which includes all of Carver County, all of Scott County, and two communities in Hennepin County, St. Bonifacius and Minnetrista. Quite an area.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Van Isle from the members? Would you like to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yes. I have been the mayor of the city of Chaska for 7 years. I was on the council 4 years before that. I was on the Planning Commission for the Carver County when I was accepted this position and had to resign from that position, from the commission. I was a volunteer fire department for 20 years. I was the chief there for five. I've been ran the U.S. Census for Carver County and Hennepin County, other than the city of Minneapolis in 2010. Right now, I am the parish director at Guardian Angels Catholic Church and School, along with this position.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, Senator Kalish renews his motion that the committee forward the confirmation of Gary Van Isle to the Metropolitan Council with recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so who would like to move? Mr. Brimmeyer. Senator Sieben would like to move the confirmation of James Brimmeyer. Senator Sieben moves the committee recommend the confirmation of James Brimmeyer to the Metropolitan Council. Mr. Brimmeyer, you probably got the drill down pretty good.
I understand there's several questions we should try to answer. I represent District 6, which is New Hope, Crystal, Golden Valley, and St. Louis Park, and southwest Minneapolis from the southern border, Lindale Avenue to, I think, a little bit north of 394. It's kind of hard to figure out those lines. They get a little squiggly. And I live in St. Louis Park. I've lived there since 1980. When I came there in 1980, I was hired as city manager in St. Louis Park, where I served for 8 years. Got involved in looking at light rail when they were building 394. That's why the HOV lanes are there today. That was the compromise. And then left that position and got into the executive search business and ran my own executive search company for 20 years. That is now, in the last year, being transferred to new owners. I chaired Vision St. Louis Park in 1995 and decided to run for city council to see if you could make some of these things work. I ran for a second term because of the Excelsior and Grand project. It was kind of fragile at the time. Left that position in 2003 and chaired Vision St. Louis Park again in 2005. I was actually asked by St. Louis Park City Council to apply for this position. At that time, I was interim part-time administrator in Spring Park, which is out on Lake Minnetonka. And that position, I resigned that position this last summer, and this is the only thing I do now except I chair, or I'm sorry, treasurer of the Community Foundation and treasurer of the Rotary Foundation. I consider myself partially semi-retired, which allows me to play golf at least 3 or 4 days a week.
Is that a selling point?
And I'm one of those on the application that says no political party, and that is true, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay. Good. Any further questions for Mr. Brimmeyer? Further discussion? Senator Limmer.
What's your handicap?
You know, it was a 24 last summer. I've gotten it down to a 20, and I think I can get it down to 16 before the summer's out if I work on it.
Jeez.
And the other handicap is every golfer's handicap. I let it get to my head once in a while.
Good answers. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Sieben renews the motion that the committee forward the confirmation of James Brimmeyer to the Metropolitan Council with recommendation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Motion does prevail. A confirmation with recommendation will be forwarded to the full Senate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Good luck.
Thank you. Senator Kalish, would you like to move?
I'd like to move Gary Cunningham.
I think we're going to, in my list, it says Jennifer Moon.
Okay, so I'd like to move Jennifer Moon.
Senator Kalish would like to move the confirmation of Jennifer Moon. Senator Kalish moves the committee recommend the confirmation of Jennifer Moon to the Metropolitan Council. Ms. Moon, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape and tell us about yourself.
Senator Vandeveer, members of the committee, I'm Jennifer Munt, and I represent District 3, which includes 16 suburbs in the southwestern portion of Minnetonka. I'm happy to be here tonight. I have a tremendous amount of respect for this body, and in fact, this office behind me was my office when I worked for Senator Greg Dahl and then Senator Jean Merriam with Senate Finance, so I'm comfortable to be here.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Munt? How do you pronounce? Could you pronounce that again for me? Sorry.
Munt, M-U-N-T.
Thank you. Any other questions, Senator Chamberlain?
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Munt.
Got it.
Okay. So,
we're not usually this slow. I don't know. Must be the evening hours.
Evening hours. So I'm reading through the resume, Ms. Munt, and you're still working with AFSCME.
I am. I serve as the public affairs director for AFSCME, where my responsibilities include communications and media relations.
Okay, and Mr. Chair?
Senator Chamberlain.
So I'd have to ask you, how does that, all the work, you're still working for AFSCME, then you'll be working for Met Council, you still advocate for AFSCME, which advocates against the Met Council or for the Met Council as well. How will that reconcile? I'm a little concerned with what we could call the conflict of interest.
Ms. Munn.
Senator Chamberlain, Chair, in my work at AFSCME, we are a union that represents 500 of nearly 4,000 employees of the Metropolitan Council. I recognize that that could cause a conflict on rare occasion. For example,
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to correct something I said earlier. I should correct that to be accurate. Perceived conflict, okay? We'll go back. Perceived, okay? Thank you.
Certainly. I think what's important for you folks to know is that, first of all, we represent 500 of the 4,000 employees at Metropolitan Council. I recognize that could cause a rare conflict of interest. For example, when the council votes on AFSCME's contract, I would recuse myself. It's also important to know that in the work of our union, I am not in any way, shape, or form involved in labor relations. So I don't negotiate contracts. I don't handle grievances or arbitrations. I'm not involved in that part of our book of business, so that does not present a conflict. However, if ever there is a conflict, I will consult with Met Council's legal counsel and abstain from voting on any issues where there could be a conflict.
Senator Kalash.
Yeah. Ms. Munt, I've known you for 15 or 20 years because my union was located not too far from the light rail station and involved in all of that stuff, and I know that you've done a lot of great work in the Nokomis East neighborhood as well. All of those things are very familiar with me in my role as the NRP policy board member as well. And so I've had, you know, what I've seen in the past is that you're able to keep your work focused on the task at hand and being able to get that done. And I in the past, I know that you had some involvement with, I thought you had something with the communication workers as well, and working, or maybe it was just working out of their office when you were working for some of these local things. But, you've done a great job. You've got a fabulous resume here that involves so many of the things that the Met Council does that and I know AFSCME well enough to know that it's compartmentalized as well between all the different unions and branches because of its distribution, I think, as much as anything throughout the state and with different branches of government, different local government units, et cetera. And it seems to me that it would be relatively easily to compartmentalize what you do, especially since you're doing communications primarily rather than policymaking. Is that accurate?
Chair Vandeveer, Senator Kalash, I think it's important to know that AFSCME is not the reason that I sought appointment to the Metropolitan Council. I sought appointment because my skills and my experience are uniquely suited for the job. First of all, I have served for 6 years on the board of Transit for Livable Communities. We are the largest transportation advocacy group in Minnesota with 10,000 members. Congress trusted us with $25 million in funding to provide grants to local communities for bike and pedestrian improvements. And I'm proud to say that Minneapolis is now ranked the number one bicycling city in the nation. Also, I worked for several years at the Met Council, where I was responsible for public involvement and public relations for the Hiawatha Light Rail Line. Basically, what they did is they put a bullseye on my chest, and they sent me out to community meetings so that I could take the heat for the elected officials. We held 357 community meetings over the course of 4 years. And I'm proud to say that residents and business owners along the line got a voice in shaping their light rail line. And when opponents said, you can't fund it, you can't build it, and you can't get people to ride, we proved them wrong. I also have experience as an urban planner with the Nokomis East Neighborhood Association, as you said. Our neighborhood group of 17,000 people received $5 million each year to invest in urban renewal projects. Those projects included economic development, housing rehab, environmental cleanup, and crime prevention. And I'm proud to say that we involved nearly 7,000 people in planning how we would improve the neighborhood. I'm also familiar with the legislative process, having served on the Senate Finance Committee in this body.
Thank you. Senator Nelson, do you have a question?
Cool. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Mundt, you have a lot of qualifications on here. I'm wondering if you can give me a little bit of information about the Transit for Livable Communities. I noticed that you're the board chair currently, and what I'd like to know is exactly what type of advocacy does that do, and does it interact with the Met Council? That's really what I would like to get at here.
Chair, senators, I was the president of Transit for Livable Communities until the beginning of this year, where my workload prevented me from doing that. I still serve on the board. Yes, Transit for Livable Communities is a nonprofit that works closely with the Metropolitan Council. One of the things that we advocate for are more and better transportation choices. I think that my involvement with the nonprofit makes me a more effective member of the Met Council because we are able to reach out to traditionally underrepresented groups of people who ride transit but don't have the time to come to the Capitol and have a voice in decisions that are affecting their daily life.
Thank you. Senator Nelson.
Just a follow-up to that then. So you're not the chair of the board anymore because your workload at AFSCME has taken such a large part, takes so much commitment. But are you still on the board then?
I continue to serve on the board. That's right.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Mundt, so my question is then, if the Transit for Livable Communities interacts with the Met Council and you're serving on both boards, that sounds like it could be some sort of a conflict, or how would you know which hat you were wearing when?
Chair Vandeveer, Senator Nelson, I don't see it as a conflict in any way, shape, or form. In fact, the Metropolitan Council, in shaping its regional framework for 2040, they invited Transit for Livable Communities to come in and provide advice on how they can do a better job of guiding the region to be competitive.
Senator Nelson, a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Oh, so just a follow-up then, Ms. Mundt. So the Met Council does not fund Transit for Livable Communities. They don't provide any funding for them. Is that what you're saying?
Ms. Mundt.
Chair Vandeveer, Senator Nelson, that's correct. The Met Council does not fund Transit for Livable Communities.
Senator Limmer, do you have that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Mundt, one of your letters dated January 21st to the governor
makes reference to equitable development. And in the letter, you state regional investment should be focused at reducing economic health and social disparities among people in our region. What does that mean?
There's none.
Senator Vandeveer, Senator Limmer, what that means is that we can create a way to shape communities where everyone has the opportunity to prosper. And I'll give you an example. There's a constituent in my district who was able to buy a home because she uses transit. A family that can get by on one car instead of two has $7,000 more in their pocket that they can invest in housing. And I'll give you another example. When we connect housing and transportation, it allows us to be a competitive region because businesses will not locate in a community where people have to spend more time in traffic than they do with their families. An example of that, I have a constituent who lives in Mound. She takes the bus to Wells Fargo for work. Her employer credits her with her commute. What that means for her is she has two more hours a day to spend with her children because she lives in a home that's located along a transit corridor. What that means is equitable development allows everyone to have the opportunity to prosper, and it means that we will have a more competitive region because of it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
When it comes to regional investment, does that mean that there will be some regions that will not receive these types of investments from the Met Council if you're on this board?
Ms. Munn.
Senator Vandeveer, Senator Limmer, I don't foresee it that way at all. In fact, every city in my district, be it large or small, has the opportunity to apply for funding from the Metropolitan Council. There's a fair criteria by which applications are judged. However, in the scheme of things, we have limited resources, as you are well aware, and we need to invest those resources in places where it makes the best and most efficient use. I believe one of those places is in doubling our transit system by the year 2030.
Mr. Chair,
Senator,
I happen to represent the northwest part of Hennepin County, and Maple Grove being the largest city in that area. A lot of people in the Twin Cities area might think that Maple Grove has a tremendous amount of resources, and yet at the same time, we also have a population that has a very full spectrum. Economic disparities are included in that full spectrum. And some of those that are on the lower end of that spectrum do not have the resources. And yet, on occasion, I look at some of the decisions that the Met Council makes where they're trying to direct their resources to some of the areas that have either poor economic condition, health and social disparities certainly are alive, but if we make decisions like that, then how would the people on the lower end of the spectrum in my city get some of these resources?
Ms. Munn.
Chairman Vandeveer, Senator Limmer, I don't foresee a time when we as a Met Council, we as regional thinkers, would deny Maple Grove. There's a city in my district which I suspect is similar, in Eden Prairie. There are many disparities. I spent last weekend with a group of 500 Somalis in Eden Prairie, and what they told me was two things. They said, we seek entrepreneurial opportunities along the light rail line, and we seek the opportunity to get our kids by transit to higher education at the University of Minnesota and other places. I see opportunities for transit in Maple Grove, giving people the same kind of opportunities that they'll have in Eden Prairie.
Hey, Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was thinking that maybe now might be a time where we might just get the benefit of the screening process that all of these candidates have gone through, because as a committee we're to confirm these names, and we've just confirmed three other names, and we have not really, you know, spent a lot of time, you know, really delving deep into these applications. We're looking at them. We're obviously a committee that's trusting a process that went through long before us. In fact, I've been a part of that process, and it's rather extensive. So maybe we could just be reminded, for the record, what these candidates have gone through in getting to be appointed. It's a rather lengthy, and there's a lot of people that apply for these positions. And so maybe Mr. Shutnin or someone could just remind us of what's gone on to get these people to this position, because otherwise, you know, we would be spending a lot of time with each of these candidates if we were the preliminary screening committee, if we were the committee that was directly choosing these from a whole list of people. You know, we're here to, I think, trust that a screening committee has actually, you know, done their work. And so I'm just thinking that we probably need to be, would be good to be reminded of all the work that has gone on before us. If Mr. Shutnin could just remind us of that, please.
Mr. Shutnin.
Mr. Chair and Senator McGuire, in order to seek appointment to the Metropolitan Council, you have to file an application with the Secretary of State's open appointments process. Specific to the Metropolitan Council, there is a nominating committee that is called that includes elected and non-elected persons from the Seven County Metropolitan Area. And under the case of this nominating committee from the Dayton administration, there were seven members that either had a city or a county person who lived in either the city or the council from each of the seven counties who represented that particular county on the nominating committee. There were over 250 applicants for the 16 council seats that are serving currently under the Dayton administration, and we had four hearings across the metropolitan area where we had individual meetings at those four hearings for each individual council district. After that, the nominating committee got together. They scaled that group down to two. Well, actually, I need to go back. They did prior to having the hearings, they selected 5 to 7 members for each district that they asked to come to these hearings. At the hearings, then, we heard from each of those folks between 5 and 10 minutes each. And then the nominating committee made a recommendation to Governor Dayton of 2 or 3 members from each of those districts for the governor to think about prior to him making his appointment. It should also be noted that during that time, we also sent a letter to all members of the legislature, which is required by law, in order to let them know of the persons who were being considered for the council, and that occurred prior to the governor making his appointments as well. So there was a lot of time put in by those folks from the nominating committee. I know Chair Haig participated in those meetings as well, and we did spend time with Governor Dayton as he went through and made his appointments as well.
So, Mr. Shetton, I think that's good, and I don't think any of that precludes members, however, from having individual questions. If we did some of them too fast, we can go back, Senator McGuire, to them, but we didn't intend to do that. But if members have questions, I think this is the time to do it, and the public's perception of our process is important, too, I think, and that it be trustworthy and considered reliable and transparent. So, Senator Wolf, did you have a question?
Mr. Chair, I have another one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree we have a process of weeding through the applications, and that happens, but then it is our job to confirm once that process has happened. And I will say that this one, Ms. Munt brings up a red flag for me, and maybe for different reasons, but I want to get back to what Senator Chamberlain said about perceived conflict of interest. Even in the letter from AFSCME, it mentions Jennifer knows how important transportation choices are to the 15,000 AFSCME Council 5 members who work along the Central Corridor.
again, drawing attention to AFSCME members, and we're not interested in just AFSCME members. And for me, it brings up an image of if we had somebody on a school board who was an Education Minnesota member. They might be perfectly capable of keeping the two separate, but the reality is in the negotiations, those two have differing opinions often. And so you mentioned that you would recuse yourself if there was a conflict, and I guess I would ask, you know, from past times that you've had to do that, what type of subjects were you voting on? And were they close votes? Because we also don't want to have people on the council that are going to be recusing themselves because each vote is going to be very important. So can you give an example of a time when you've had to recuse yourself?
Ms. Munn.
Chair Vandeveer, Senator, I have served on the Met Council for about a year. There have not been instances where I needed to abstain. Right now, AFSCME is in contract negotiations with the Metropolitan Council. When their contract comes up, I will abstain. However, my connection with 15,000 workers along the Central Corridor is a strength to the council. The reason is those are potential riders. Those are workers who can't afford a parking spot in a downtown. They are workers who, if we can get, I'll give you a statistic that is very moving to me. If we can convince the residents of the region to drive 4% less, we would save $1 billion, both in wasted fuel and in infrastructure. Being able to encourage people to try transit and ride it is a benefit to the region, and it's a benefit to everyone who drives or not.
Thank you. Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the members, I think it's important to remember that this committee and the body has had experience in the past of confirming members who had what Senator Chamberlain and Senator Wolf described as a perceived or a potential conflict of interest. Daniel Wolters was a member of the Metropolitan Council who worked at the University of Minnesota and was nominated by Governor Pawlenty and confirmed by the Senate. I'm not sure of the vote, but I think it was over. I think that it was unanimous. And Mr. Wolters did recuse himself from votes, which, if you can imagine, working with the University of Minnesota when they were working on the Central Corridor line turned out to be quite frequently. So I think that Ms. Munta said there hasn't been a contract yet at the Met Council where she's had to recuse herself from. I also think it's important for members to remember that she's not directly involved in the negotiations, either in her role at AFSCME or at the Metropolitan Council. And I also think I was surprised to learn that AFSCME isn't even the largest bargaining unit at the Metropolitan Council. If I'm not mistaken, Ms. Munt, isn't it the bus drivers or something like that, the transit workers who are the largest employee group?
Mr. Chair Vandeveer, Senator Sieben, the Amalgamated Transit Union is the largest bargaining unit with 2,200 workers at the Met Council.
So I thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that Ms. Munt, just from listening to her qualifications, listening to how integral she's been in the development of transit in the region, while some members of the committee may not appreciate that as much as I do, I think that that's a really good asset to have it for a member of the Metropolitan Council, and I enthusiastically endorse her nomination.
Okay, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, it's understandable that there can be concerns about the perceived conflict. The letter from AFSCME, as Senator Wolf mentioned, is quoted as saying she's led public advocacy for 43,000 public and nonprofit workers, including our hardworking members at Met Council. And I guess that we're not asking her necessarily to be an advocate for those workers. We're asking for, you know, a very non-biased and fair treatment, and certainly not to work against them. but not necessarily to be an advocate. And so, you know, I read this, and I just read it tonight. I had not seen it before, but it does raise some issues for me. But I wasn't even going to mention that one, but I, as it was called to my attention, I took a look at it. One of the things I'm interested in, because I understand that transit is important to you, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate transit, too. I think that it's important to our whole network. But I'm still really concerned about roadways. Where I live, I represent Scott County, and one of my concerns always is possible road expansion projects and how that fits into plans. I am from a very fast-growing area, at least I was until the recession hit. But it's still growing. Our Shakopee schools are gaining 300 new students a year, even during the recession, which seems unusual, but it's still a growth area. And I realize that a lot of people appreciate transit, but probably about 95% of them appreciate the roadways. And we need to have the infrastructure there to make sure that people can get in and out of our communities and connect with the greater metropolitan area and the rest of the state too. And I'm just wondering about your perspective on how you balance roads and transit, recognizing that 95% of the people still are using the roads. How you look at that, and I'm just a little concerned that the focus is sometimes, and not just from you certainly, but from the perspective of the council, that it's so much on transit at times that they forget about what the needs are in the areas a little further out, that it isn't maybe economically feasible to put transit out there yet, but we still have needs.
Ms. Munt.
Chair Vandeveer, Senator Roebling, I couldn't agree more that we need to recognize that 95% drive cars. In fact, in my garage is a Mustang Cobra with 425 horses under the hood. I understand that we need to recognize that we need to maintain and in certain cases expand our roads when necessary. I know that because AFSCME members design, maintain, and repair our roads, and I've been underneath the broken bridges, and I know how important it is to address all infrastructure.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow my question when I asked Mr. Shutton to just remind us what the process was. It wasn't that I intended to close off questioning. I think it's this committee's responsibility to ask questions, but I did think we should just be reminded that there's been a very extensive process before this, and there are 16 members on this council, and each one of them has a wealth of experience in their background. We hope they bring different aspects of their lives to this. That's why they've been appointed to the council. We have people with affordable housing backgrounds, with solid waste backgrounds, with transportation backgrounds. Ms. Munt happens to have a transit background, and so, I mean, I'm hoping, and I perceive as I'm looking at the resumes of the candidates we have before us, that they have a wide range of experience and that not any one person is going to be able to get their entire agenda passed. They have a whole board of people that they work with, but we want people to have had experience. This is not a full-time job, and so I'm hoping that we have people. We don't want conflicts of interest, and that's why we have conflicts of interest policies in this. And so I just hope in our questioning that we just keep that in mind, that we want people to have a varied background and special experience in different areas. I, for one, am glad that we have someone that has a transit background and someone who's worked with labor. I mean, we would definitely want a representative of that in this board. It's not that every member has that. It just would be part of the mix. And so I just want us to keep in mind that we do want a varied background and obviously no conflict of interest. But we've heard her say that she's very conscious of that and will recuse herself when she needs to.
Senator McGuire, could you point out where you're specifically referring to the conflict of interest that being dealt with in the
Well, people are mentioning that she might have a conflict of interest. I personally don't see a conflict of interest.
So it's not addressed anywhere in the paperwork specifically, as you just said?
Pardon me?
You just said it was specifically addressed in the packet.
Oh, we've heard that there's a conflict of interest, that Mr. Shetland, I mean, that people have said there's a conflict of interest policy for the Met Council. Do we not have one of those? I'm guessing we do. We don't have the council's policies in front of us, but I'm guessing that there is a conflict of interest policy within the Met Council.
And you're questioning whether we should even look at that? Is that
no? I'm saying we have one, so we know that there's one there, and that the members would absolutely follow that. We definitely should require that they follow that.
Which is what we're attempting to do. Senator Kayla.
And she's been asked that and said that she was going to follow it. I was just pointing that out, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, a couple of things that have popped up. I read Senator Wolf's comments on 15,000 AFSCME members. I read that as someone who's personally associated with the kinds of issues that Met Council's dealing with because of her involvement and work with the folks that are trying to get to and from work. To Senator Roebling's point on the roads, I think with the kind of car that she's got in her garage, she wants to get as many people in transit as possible so it clears the road so she can use that muscle car. But and that's the point of it, I think, is when we talk about transit, it's not getting everybody off the road. It's getting those people that don't need to be there so commerce can move and not be stuck in traffic. So that's really the point of transit. So, some of the perceived conflicts or whatever, it seems to me like the overwhelming experience she's got, and she's bringing not from the AFSCME point of view, but from all the light rail, the transit, livable communities, and all the things working for the Met Council and making things happen that are good for the region, I think is just a huge asset for us. And you know, just like we in the Senate have times when we have to recuse ourselves from votes if we have a conflict of interest, I think that's available. And the other thing, on Senator Limmer's point about making sure we have the community, all communities have an opportunity to get that funding. I have a community that's concerned that Met Council is putting too much affordable housing in it and concentrating poverty. So we'd be glad to send some of that money out to Maple Grove so that there's more opportunities out there where the jobs are as well. So that's just a few points. And that came up when we had the testimony from the Met Council chairs that they were looking at how they're going to redo their housing policy. So all of those things, I think, seem to be moving forward. And I just think that we have a well-qualified candidate here that can be a real asset to this council and bring a real deep background. I'm sorry? The Cobra could be a kind Did you want to ride, Mr. Chair?
Oh, it would be. But there was that reminds me of a constituent of mine who considered himself a transit advocate. He told me one day to hurry up and get that light rail done so he can drive to work faster.
Mr. Chairman, on this point.
Were you finished, Senator Kalish? I'm sorry.
No, I was done.
Okay, Senator Cruz, I think, was next. If that's okay,
on this Senator. Point, though, Mr. Chairman.
To that point, Senator Limmer.
Thank you. Senator Kalish, there seems to be an illusion that Maple Grove is not participating in allowing low-income people moving into Maple Grove. They made an arrangement with the Met Council about 10 to 12 years ago, and I think they've more than doubled that dollar or that unit amount for low-income housing families. They've gone above and beyond the call.
Mr. Chair,
so I don't want to create, and no. I don't want to leave an impression that cities in my community haven't done their fair share.
No, Mr. Chair, I didn't. That was not my intention at all, Senator Limmer. It was just that where you're looking for more funding for that, we have communities that have access to transit, easier access to transit, that in some ways are starting to get more affordable housing units than the city can handle, and some of it has to do with the drop in the housing, the foreclosures and all that have taken many more, created many more affordable units, and it's an issue that is alive and well and very active in Richfield right now, and it has to do with that. So my point on that was just that I think there's a lot of work that can be done across the board and making sure that all the communities have a chance and that we do not go back to concentrating poverty that we, the Holman Decree in North Minneapolis was
Mr.
required
Chair,
to solve.
So that's all.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, there seems to be just a prevailing myth that
keeps circulating
through the Senate chamber and the House chamber. And anytime I hear it, I have to confront it.
Okay. I actually don't even know what's going on in Maple Grove. So
Senator Cruz.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Monte. You're very articulate, and I can see your passion, and I know that you want to help people. I do have some concerns about the perceived conflict of interest being an AFSCME employee and what that could do with you being on the council. But you said something that – and I wasn't even going to say anything, but you said something that really kind of struck a chord with me. And I have to be honest, it put up a red flag. And I think Senator Roebling was very articulate, and she kind of walked around it. And I also think Senator Kielash touched on it a little bit. But you made a comment along the lines of, if we could get people to drive 4% less. And my question to you, Ms. Montes, is this. Do you see the Metropolitan Council as a means to affect social change? And I'm really interested in hearing your thoughts on that, because I would like to think that that's our job here as legislators to consider that policy. That, you know, I mean, especially considering that the members of the Metropolitan Council aren't elected, they're appointed. They're appointed from districts. This is true. So there is a certain representation that goes on there. But it's the governor that gets to appoint you to your position. So I would be very interested in hearing your thoughts on that.
Ms. Munn.
Chair Vandeveer, senators, I don't think that the Met Council is about social engineering, as we have often been accused. I think our job is to provide attractive transportation choices so that people can choose. We're not going to take away anybody's car, but what we are going to do is provide buses that can go on shoulder lanes and get you there faster and cheaper than you are by driving your car. And that's a benefit to people who drive cars, because it alleviates traffic congestion. It's a win-win for everybody. We're about providing attractive choices. We aren't about forcing people's behavior.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Mont, I look at areas, especially like the area that Senator Limmer represents, where they have an opt-out transit system that is performing absolutely phenomenal right now, and they're doing exactly what you're saying. They're providing options, and it's working. And I have to be honest, what I see historically from the Metropolitan Council is almost a build it and they will come, and in a subsidy of ridership that we don't see, a level that we don't see in some of our opt-out communities like Maple Grove. So I guess, you know, that's why that really strikes a chord with me, because I when I hear comments like, if we could get people to drive 4% less, to me that doesn't speak of presenting options. That speaks of presenting a direction, to presenting a path. So I guess, that's a big concern for me.
Senator Ms. Munt, did you want to comment?
Chair Vandeveer, senators, I'll tell you what I hear from my neighbors in Minnetonka. Minnetonka was designed for cars instead of for people. And my neighbors say to me, I wish that I didn't have to waste a pint of gas to get a pint of milk. I wish I had a grocery store nearby so that I could walk or take my bike. Those are the kind of choices that would get us to a point where 4% of people aren't riding. Instead, they're walking and taking bicycles as they choose to. In my community, people are craving sidewalks and the ability to choose to leave the car in the garage.
Senator Harrington.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's been an interesting discussion. On the one hand, it seems like we're
critical of the fact that Ms. Munt has extensive experience in transit and urban planning, at the same time that we are bemoaning the fact that we need people with more experience to make better policy decisions in a planful way. So I'm a little confused by the direction the questions have gone. It would seem to me that if what we're looking for here are the best qualified people to come to the Met Council, almost anyone who is really well qualified is probably going to come from someplace that has background and experience. Otherwise, we would just pick them randomly out of a hat, which is not what we're doing. We're trying to pick people that have extensive experience and expertise in the things that the Met Council does. And the Met Council runs wastewater, waste treatment. They run transit. They do housing. So it seems like we're putting people in a catch-22 here, that the people that we most need, if we're going to have people come to the council with a high level expertise, are also people that will probably have some historical conflicts, and that's why we have the rules. In most regards, I think they're the same rules that apply to us. Most of us come to elected office with a background. When I sit at Senator Wimmer's table, I bring 35 years as a cop. If I was still a St. Paul cop, I would have to recuse myself from decisions around that, because those are the rules that we have here. We've had occasions at this very committee where members of this committee have had to recuse themselves because there was a conflict with something we currently do. I think we have the rules. We expect good people to abide by those rules. I haven't heard anything thus far that tells me that we've had any history with Ms. Munt where she hasn't abided by those rules. And my final comment is to say, historically, there is concerns about how Met Council has proceeded. She's been on the council for a year. I'm not sure if we can hand her the history of the Met Council with a year under her belt, unless someone has a question about a particular decision in the last year. And I haven't heard any questions of that kind.
Well, there are questions about the last year for sure, but and I think this is only one place. This is the only place that we have input into the council, and that's the confirmation process. So if there's frustration about things that my cities that I represent are telling me with relative to the Met Council, I'm going to want to get that drawn out here in this process to find out what is motivating and what is causing those decisions and driving those decisions. And I think that's true of all the members here. This is the only time we can do it. This is when we should do it, and this is when we are doing it. Senator Cruz, did you have another question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is just to kind of follow up with some of the comments that Senator Harrington made. Senator Harrington, I would respectfully argue that there's one difference between folks who are appointed to the Metropolitan Council and us here as legislators, and that's the fact that we are elected. We are specifically put here to move agendas, and I don't know what I don't know if you would agree with me on this, but I would argue that the Metropolitan Council is to facilitate and plan. And I think there's a definite line between driving any agenda, but specifically a social agenda. And that's where I would say there's a big difference. And yes, we're dealing with this right now because this is what we have in front of us, but there has been concerns historically. And I think the reason that there have been concerns historically is because that fine line has been grayed between facilitating and planning versus pushing an agenda or trying to affect change. So that's where, I mean, maybe you and I just see things differently.
Senator McGuire, and then we're going to kind of move on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wanted to remind myself and members of the committee and just get confirmation that this council has been in place for a year, and the council that was in place that probably was the historical council that you may have concerns with was a Pawlenty appointed council. So that if you had concerns about a council historically for the last 8 years, that was a Met Council appointed by Governor Pawlenty. So this would be a council that I'm not sure that they move that fast. I think some people have concerns that they don't move fast enough. But I think this council, you know, I know they've been in place for a year. So I just want to caution us that we maybe don't, you know, hold, as Senator Harrington says, don't hold one person for sure, but this whole council responsible for all the historical concerns that we've had about Met Council. I mean, these are people that are there trying to do a job, and we can question them. I have no problem with that, but we should just keep that in mind, that historically this is not that council.
Fair enough, Senator McGuire. Senator Harrington, and then...
Yeah, just really quickly to Senator Cruz's point, if the Met Council is in fact a planning body, then Ms. Munn is exactly who we want. She's got a background in urban planning. She has the broad base of experience, both at a theoretical and an academic basis, but also has the actual practical experience of applying that theory in an urban planning setting. That's what her master's degree is in. So I don't think we are that far apart, actually, on this, that, yeah, they see them as a planning body. But I also see them because they run a transit organization and they run waste projects there, that there is implementation, there is executive function that they have to implement along with the planning function. So it's not simply a planning, because they actually have to make sure the buses arrive on time.
Okay, Senator Chamberlain.
Are we, Mr. Chair, are we ready to?
I think for any further discussion? Ms. Munn wanted to make some comments, if that's...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ms. Munn.
Senator Vandeveer, committee members, I think it's important to know that both I and my colleagues on the Met Council are one of the most engaged councils that you will find. I'll give you a sense of what my calendar looks like next week. On Wednesday of this week, I'll be speaking with the Minnetonka Women's Group. On Friday, I'll be touring the Southwest Line with community members. On Thursday night and on Friday of the next week, we'll be having community meetings with stakeholders on both ends of my district. We are extremely engaged. I have met with most of the 16 cities in my district. I attend working meetings with those city councils. I chair the Community Advisory Committee for the Southwest LRT line, and I serve with cities and county partners on the Southwest LRT Community Works Committee. What this is about is public participation and partnerships, and that's what is going to make us a competitive region that addresses people's needs and concerns.
Thank you. Senator Chamberlain.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if we're ready to go, I just want to say that I don't think anybody doubts your capabilities and your talents and your ability, your experience. You have extensive experience and talent. But you still work for AFSCME. You still work, you're still on the board with Transport Livable Communities. And with that, Mr. Chair, I would just move that we'd amend the motion from recommendation to without recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Stephen.
Mr. Chair, I'm really upset by this motion, and I'd urge my colleagues to seriously reconsider. As I stated, there was a Met Council member who was approved by members of this body who worked for the University of Minnesota, who recused himself time and time again whenever the Central Corridor, whenever there was any issue regarding the University of Minnesota moving their physics labs, all of that stuff, even though he wasn't directly involved with the building of that line, he recused himself. He was appointed by Governor Pawlenty and confirmed by this body. And if this committee is going to make the motion to not recommend Ms. Munt because she works for a bargaining unit that has some affiliation with the Metropolitan Council, but she has proven in her remarks that she doesn't have direct contact in the contract negotiations, it's not the largest bargaining unit for the Metropolitan Council, I just think that this is a serious political hack job that deserves the public scrutiny, and I would hope that you would just slow down and not do this, because as it's been stated, she is supremely well qualified. Whether or not we all agree with whether transit is right for the future of the metropolitan region. It is one of the primary roles of the Metropolitan Council. And if we have a problem with that, you as legislators have the ability to try to change that. But to take down Ms. Munt or to not recommend her because in some way you can draw some association that she works for AFSCME and AFSCME has members who work for the Metropolitan Council, it would be extremely disappointing.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, just one last comment and I'm done. Ms. Munt also works with Transit for Livable Communities. So she's still on the board. And again, in the private sector where I come from, we had to avoid even the perception of conflict, and that's not a negative thing. It's just the reality to protect the interests of clients and the public in total. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, my God.
And Senator Chamberlain moves to amend the motion with recommendation to without recommendation. Discussion
Mr.
on the
Chair.
Amendment. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do think this is a dangerous path that we're going down. Ms. Munt has a great background, as do all of our members of the Met Council. We want people that have experience. We don't want people that don't have experience on the Met Council. It's a planning body that plans for the needs of our metropolitan area. They're one of 16 members. They can't do their whole agenda. I would argue that she doesn't work for Transit for Livable Communities. She serves on their board. That's a volunteer position, I'm assuming. But I think they all have experience. I mean, we can't deny someone for having experience if it's inappropriate. But these are issues that this Met Council deals with. And she's, as I said, one of 16 people. We would value, one should value that experience that one would bring to the table. I think this is a very dangerous precedent that we're setting. We can't have people, like as someone said, you just draw their names out of a hat if we don't want people with experience there. So I vehemently oppose the motion and think that we should send Ms. Munt on with recommendation.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Kelis.
Yeah, I just take issue with the conflict of interest argument. One, the livable community is a voluntary position, and she's spending extra time that she doesn't have to in order to try to promote a better quality of life for all the folks in the metro area. To say that's a conflict of interest is, just wrong. I mean, we all are doing stuff, and we all got here because we were involved in our community in one way, shape, or form, sitting on boards, working with our churches or Little League team, you name it. But we all did things that and continue to do things that reflect our values, and her values are that she wants to build a livable community, and that's what we want this Met Council to do. They are the regional government that is regionally charged with making sure that this metropolitan area is a better place to live, work, play. And I just think that to send this on without a recommendation is just a disservice to, and quite frankly, it's discounting all the hard work she's done for free as part of a community leader. And this is the governor's choice. And in the past, we've always given the governor his choice so that this can be led. She's one of 16 board members. Her influence will be exactly that, one of 16 members. So her conflict of interest, as Senator Chamberlain likes to say, is very small in relationship to the decisions that the council is making. Her experience, though, brings a wealth of knowledge into the discussion, it's not just about her, but it's about the whole council's ability to get good information in front of them at the time these decisions are made, information that comes from years and years experience working in transit, in our community, and on the very issues that the Met Council is doing. So I'm going to vote against this. It's a bad recommendation. The governor deserves this. The city, the Met Council does, and the metropolitan area deserves this kind of experience on this board.
Hey, Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to point out
I've heard Senator McGuire mention that it was a past Met Council, and I've heard Senator Sieben bring up some other person from the past that maybe there was a conflict of interest. And I want to point out that that was a different legislature, too. And if there was a conflict of interest, then maybe that legislature maybe shouldn't have confirmed them. This is a different legislature, and I think we are doing our job, which is listening to the appointments that have been made, and if we have reason to question, I think that's what our role is. And if the past legislature didn't question the role, again, that's in the past. And if there was a conflict, then that legislature should have done their job and maybe not appointed them or not confirmed them.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
They didn't? Well,
I just wanted to point out and remind people that Ms. Munt is not involved in any negotiating or any contracts. She works in the public, basically in publicity. And she's also one of the most qualified people on this list. I just think that what we have here is a bias against somebody who is connected to a union. And there were no concerns about people who worked for city government or city organizations. It's just the problem is apparently AFSCME.
Okay, all those in favor of the Chamberlain motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
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 Mr. Chair, I'd like division.
Okay, all those in favor of...
I'd like a roll call, excuse me, just to make sure that we know who's supporting and who's not.
Okay, can't do it. I think a division is what you...
roll call vote or whatever. Well, okay, excuse me, you're right, division.
It's too late for roll call, so we will do a division. All those in favor of Senator Chamberlain's motion, raise your hands. Eight. Okay, all opposed? There being eight yeses and looks like five noes. The motion does prevail. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Chamberlain renews his motion that the committee forward the confirmation of Jennifer Munt to the Metropolitan Council without recommendation. All in favor, say aye.
I request
aye.
A roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll will be taken.
Vandeveer?
Aye.
Chamberlain?
Aye.
Eaton?
No.
Harrington?
No.
Kielash?
No.
Cruz?
Aye.
Limmer?
Aye.
McGuire?
No.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Reinert? Roebling?
Aye.
Sieben?
No.
Wolf?
There being eight yeses and five noes, the motion does prevail. Confirmation without recommendation will be forwarded to the full Senate. Thank you, Ms. Munt. Senator, now I would like to take up Gary Cunningham. Senator Kalish would like to move the confirmation of Gary Cunningham. Senator Kalish moves that the committee recommend the confirmation of Gary Cunningham to the Metropolitan Council. Mr. Cunningham, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape and tell us about yourself.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Gary Cunningham. I was appointed by Governor Dayton to represent District 7, which is South Central Minneapolis, Downtown Minneapolis, and North Minneapolis. I come to this role in my current capacity as the Vice President of Programs and Chief Program Officer for the Northwest Area Foundation. Prior to that, I was the CEO of North Point Health and Wellness and the Director of Primary Care for Hennepin County. I've served as the Director of Planning and Development for Hennepin County for a number of years. And prior to that, I was the Associate Superintendent of Minneapolis Public Schools. And I was also the County Administrator and Deputy County Administrator in Scott County. And I could go on, Mr. Chairman, but I think I'll stop there.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Cunningham? Senator Robley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome. I used to work with Mr. Cunningham when he was the administrator in Scott County. And I'll ask you this, because I asked the last candidate this as well. If you know what our needs are in Scott County. Obviously, you've been there, and you know that we have a lot of people that have to get over rivers and travel into the metropolitan area and to other parts of the state. And I'm just wondering if you would comment a little bit about the transit versus your approval for road plans and how you would balance that out.
Mr. Cunningham.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, I think I do understand the situation in Scott County. In fact, I, as you know, was involved with the development and building of the Bloomington Ferry Bridge, in part because of those needs. I actually think that there has to be a balance, that one has to think about the connection of people to opportunity. And the citizens of Scott County certainly have unique needs in respect to some of the other areas in the Metropolitan Council. And I think we need to balance those as we think about both transit, roads, and other amenities that ensure that this metropolitan area can compete both nationally and internationally. So Scott County, I think, is a unique example of a community that certainly at this point doesn't have the population to support the transit development, but it does need the infrastructure that's necessary to move people in and out of it. And so given my unique experience and understanding, part of the reason I got on the council is because I also want to build bridges between the inner city communities that I represent now and the communities of Scott County and the other metropolitan areas. So I think that's so important that we think about this as a metropolitan region and not just everybody's parochial interests as a part of this. So part of this is a balance, I think, and you can be assured that I will be looking out for the interests of all of the metropolitan region, not just Minneapolis, because I think we all need to have some balance about how we approach these issues.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Any additional questions?
I was just going to ask Mr. Cunningham. I know he's had quite a bit of experience with local governments and now nonprofits, but how he works with local government officials. You probably know from when you were in Scott County that sometimes people grumbled about the Met Council. And they were concerned that we were considered so remote and that the officials didn't always get the ear of the Met Council like they hoped maybe. And I just am wondering how you work with your local officials and any outreach you can do in that area.
Mr. Cunningham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Roebling, I have met with each of the representatives on the Minneapolis City Council. I've also met with a number of the park officials as well in the city of Minneapolis, and I actually interact with them quite frequently as a part of what I do. My role is to respect the role of elected officials and ensure that elected officials that are in the area that I represent are aware of, have given me feedback on, and are part of the discussion as we move forward with any of the things that I work on in the council. What I've heard from the city council representatives in District 7 and in the city of Minneapolis as a whole is, wow, it's great that you're there, and it's great that you're in contact with us on a regular basis to talk about these issues, because I believe in this representative government we have, and I think it's really important for elected officials to be at the table.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Senator Kalish renews the motion that the committee forward the confirmation of Gary Cunningham to the Metropolitan Council with recommendation. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion prevails. Confirmation with recommendation will be forwarded to the full Senate. Okay, Senate, the chair will move the confirmation of Harry Melander to the Metropolitan Council. Mr. Melander, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Chair, committee members, my name is Harry Melander. I live in Montemita, Minnesota. I've been a resident of Washington County since 1986. I appreciate the opportunity to come in front of you today. If you look at my application and my civic participation, I've had the opportunity since 1987 to participate in many committees at the county level dealing with land use, housing. I have continued to participate in my county in regards to its Board of Adjustment of Appeals. I have extensive experience within housing, still sit on a couple of, or one nonprofit, I should say, in the Twin City area. And I'm somewhat embarrassed to say this, but I think it's important. This is actually the third time that I've made application to the Met Council. Last time around, I was a finalist, but because of a severe conflict, I couldn't come and do my oral interview. This isn't something that I just decided this year. I've been very interested in regional growth, regional planning, and I think the council serves that mission very, very well.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Melander, this is looks like you're getting off easier than anyone. Senator Robin, here
you go. Thank you. I wanted to ask you, too, how you interact with your local officials and the communities that you represent.
Mr. Melander.
Chair, Senator, I, too, as some of the comments that were made earlier, always thought that the folks always struggled with the Metropolitan Council. But I can tell you, and I will get to your question, Senator, is that the council really does, once you actually get involved in it and see the tremendous need for transit, land use, and that cohesiveness that's necessary for a region. But to get directly to your question, Senator, is that I think myself and other council members have done a great job in regards to reaching out. Some of the council members are a bit fortunate because they only have one municipality. I, on the other hand, have all of Washington County other than Hugo and Oakdale. I believe at least my experience and that of my colleagues, we've been positively greeted, I think enthusiastically. I think that that this group of people are going above and beyond the call to actually address that need and to listen to our elected officials. And to come back and try to advocate on behalf of those municipalities for those not only their district but also the regions that we all represent.
And I've heard comments from numerous local officials that Mr. Melander does listen to people in the cities and local units of government in our area. So thank you for that, and I hope you'll continue to do that.
Certainly will.
Council. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the chair renews my motion that the committee forward the confirmation of Harry Melander to the Metropolitan Council with recommendation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion does prevail. Confirmation with recommendation will be forwarded to the full Senate. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Senator Roebling moves that the committee recommend the confirmation of Wendy Wolf to the Metropolitan Council. Ms. Wolf. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the tape and tell us about yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Wendy Wolf. I represent District 16, which encompasses the vast majority of Dakota County. I have Apple Valley, a little piece of Eagan, Rosemount, going across to Hastings, and everything to the south in Dakota County. It includes 10 cities and 13 townships. I was originally appointed by Governor Pawlenty and reappointed by Governor Dayton. And prior to serving, I was on the Lakeville City Council for 6 years and the Lakeville Planning Commission for 7 years before that.
I was appointed because I have extensive background in regional issues, having been my focus both on the Planning Commission and on the City Council before being appointed.
Senator Robley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And
keeping us on task and thorough.
Well, I like to hear how people are involved with their districts because I know they're not elected, and I want to make sure that they can bring their community's needs to the full council. And, you know, so I'm still looking at a regional perspective as well. But I'm just wondering, Ms. Wolf, if you could explain how you keep in touch with your local elected officials and interact with them.
Ms. Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling. I actually, because the township officers are kind enough to collect themselves up for a meeting twice a year, I attend all of those meetings so I can see all of the 13 township elected officials at one time. And I also make sure that they have my contact information so that they do contact me from time to time if an issue arises that they need help with, and I have done that. I also occasionally attend the meetings of the Dakota County mayors and managers. They meet monthly, so I get together with them. I have attended City Council meetings on request in Rosemount and Eagan, and having been an elected official and interacted with all of the people in Dakota County before being elected, I run into them frequently and discuss informally if there's anything that's going on, but they all have my cell phone number and call me. And I've met with Dakota County, with Hastings, and with a number of other communities on specific issues as the need arises.
Okay, thank you. Senator Roebling.
I know the hour's late, but I'd like to ask your perspective on the transportation issues a little bit, to the transit. I know, for example, Lakeville just came into the transit district, basically. I drive by their new park and ride. I say I drive by because I'm here until the wee hours of the night, so I can't take a bus. Some days I'm wishing I could when the snow and ice are falling on 35. But how do you balance the transit and the road issue?
As well.
Well, when I was on the City Council, I was actually the lead negotiator in bringing the city into the transit taxing district and building that big park and ride that you drive past, which has been very successful. But I also was involved in the funding of the interchanges on Interstate 35 at County Road 60, 70, and 50 to bring capacity for growth in Lakeville, and I understand the needs of the local governments and the counties to have the capacity to accommodate the growth that the council has allotted to them. When I was on the TAB, I tried to advocate for expansion, for targeted expansion to deal with those capacity issues, including the 169 and 494 interchange. I voted for that when I was on the TAB. Because I realize that we can't accommodate everybody with transit. We need road expansion as well if we're going to accommodate the growth. We have to have sufficient capacity for cargo as well, because businesses can't function if they can't get their product to market.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Wolf, I represent Hastings. It's part of my district, and as you know, the Hastings Bridge is under construction. And as part of that, the Metropolitan Council has been working with the city to establish some transit service between Hastings and the Twin Cities. Can you talk to me about any involvement you've had in that or whether you're supportive of that?
I have not been specifically involved in the added transit service with the bridge, because that's MnDOT has been the lead on that rather than the Met Council. I did meet with Mayor Hicks and City Administrator Dave Osberg over dial-a-ride issues when we had the transition from Hastings having its own service to a more regional service to try to accommodate their specific needs.
Thank you. Further questions? becomes an issue because I think Forest Lake and Columbus came into the transit district over the last couple of years, and then we're told they get no bus service potentially from the Met Council. So that was kind of a stunning wake up to them. Lesson in even-handedness, I suppose. Huh? We're told, by the way, members, that two appointees in 09 and 10 were sent out of here without recommendation to the Met Council, Governor Plenty's appointees. So I don't know if that was a political hack job also, but I would hope it wasn't, that there were legitimate concerns with that. Senator Roebling moves that the committee renews her motion that the committee forward the confirmation of Wendy Wolf to the Metropolitan Council with recommendation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion does prevail. Confirmation with recommendation will be forwarded to the full Senate.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kulash.
Just a quick question before we adjourn. That is, do we have plans for other committee meetings this week? What's the schedule? Can you give us an idea?
Not at this point, Senator Kulash. We were asked, we were told session might run late on Wednesday.
Okay.
So at this juncture, we don't know. We're expecting a potential one, of course. The elusive stadium may pop up again.
John.
Not sure. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I remember hearing that there were a couple of nominees that were sent out without recommendation, but then they were still approved on the Senate floor.
No, Senator McGuire, there was no action taken on the Senate floor.
No action then.
Okay. Okay. Is what we're told. I wasn't. On this committee.
So they continued to serve, and there was no action.
It was not the end of the world as we knew it.
Pardon me?
It was not the end of the world as we knew it.
So that, but yeah, I was just confirming that there was no action taken. So, okay, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, any other question? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
I remember.